FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is June 14th, 2017. Well, person you're about to hear from, we had him on about a year ago, and he is truly one of the podcasting slash investment success stories. Jefferson Lilly, you are becoming a legend in podcasting as head of Park Street Partners. I mean, you are just crushing it. And I guess if you've ridden by a mobile home park and it looks nice, place you would almost think, gee, it's not so bad. I might want to live there. Well, probably this person has something to do with it. Jefferson, you're really into changing the meme, the whole perception of mobile home parks. So welcome back to the show. Oh, and if you have any questions for Jefferson, myself, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. Jefferson, welcome back.
Thank you, Kerry. That is the most astoundingly generous introduction I've ever had on any podcast. So whatever I'm paying you, I'm doubling it.
Well, actually, you weren't paying me anything. So two times.
Then I'm tripling it. Kerry, for you.
Three times nothing is nothing. That's the thing. You know, people do ask me, Jefferson, are you getting paid? Are these people paying you to say these things? And yeah, we have sponsors. You know, we got to keep the lights on. Come on. I mean, you know, it is a business, I hope. But I always tell you if somebody's paying or not paying, and I feel that's the least we can do because it's just the right thing. Anyways,
yeah.
You know, it's transparency. It's important. But really, you are changing the perception and you're changing what people think about these mobile home parks. You know, I think of heroin addicts shooting up on their stoops and, last stop before Skid Row. And my God, how far do you have to fall? But I'm wrong about that, aren't I?
Generally you are. Yeah. You know, as I say, when I tell folks what business I'm in buying and improving mobile home parks, I say kind of tongue in cheek, I say, okay, now what was the first thing that went through your mind when I just told you that? Was it drugs, guns, or prostitution?
Or all of the above.
Or all the above. Yeah. This is multiple choice test as well. Maybe the bottom 1% of mobile home parks are that bad, but they, you know, tarnish the whole business. And frankly, the bottom 1% of apartment buildings and site-built houses, you know, are all the same. So I'm not saying that there isn't ever anything bad that happens in a mobile home park, but I am saying that the way the media covers it, it really tarnishes the 99% of parks that are just fine. And, you know, the rents come in and the grass grows and the sun shines and it's generally not a problem. It's just those parks are full of hardworking folks that just are building a better life for themselves. But unfortunately, that's not newsworthy. So the 99% of parks never make it onto the news when the sun shines and the grass grows and all the rent came in this month and everything's just fine. That's definitely not newsworthy.
Yeah. So we've got a real break in perception, a real split between the reality and what it is. Yeah, there are those places that are just one step above Skid Row, of course, but that's not what you run.
Yes, Kerry, we buy in the upper 99% of the market.
Yeah.
Still a pretty big market.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, what does your kids say when they ask him, what does your daddy do for a living, right? And you're proud to say that you do something really important and really help people out. And, you know, what's weird is it's become like an upward mobility thing, right? Where you start out, people who can't afford a home, right? They go and they come to you and you make it possible, right?
Right. And, nobody's trapped. We do have tenants every year that either pull their homes out because they buy their own maybe half acre of land, improve it with their own, you know, well, septic, driveway, bring in the gas and electric, and they'll pull their mobile home out onto their own land. Or more likely, folks leave their mobile home in our community and sell it. But if they've been diligent in saving money, then and again, living in a community, one of our communities would run on average about $300 a month. So if they're diligent, you know, they can save hundreds of dollars per month towards a down payment on a site-built house. And so some people, again, are able to save up money and move out and buy a proper site-built house. And honestly, we're always quite happy when that happens. Ours is still a very good business, and we are genuinely happy to know that we've helped some folks save money so that they can then step up into owning, again, a site-built house or their own mobile home on their own land. But we're also happy, of course, that many of our tenants stay and like the communities they're in and don't have any desire to move. And they're still saving money versus what it would cost to live somewhere else. And they've got maybe a little extra flexibility for some nights out on the town, as it were, or a little vacation or something else with the money that they save from living in a mobile home park and owning their own home. And again, just paying lot rent. It's a big savings over being in the regular apartment rental game where you're probably paying $800 to $1,100 for actually a smaller place. You're paying more and you're getting less. And anyway,
hey, it's you know, it's a major deal for somebody who, you know, would like to aspire to the middle class and has to start lower than others, right?
Yeah. Again, if you're diligent, mobile home parks are a great place to start to save, and then work your way up to owning whatever you want, site-built house or condo or your own mobile home on your own land. But yeah, and honestly, I've had a couple of our, especially female tenants, tell me that honestly, they have no intention of moving out. Single females, because they don't want to then go live, you know, farther out somewhere in their own home or trailer, because they feel less safe. They feel more safe in a community of people. They know their neighbors. You know, honestly, the mobile homes might only be 50 feet apart. So heaven forbid, if something happens, you can scream out that you need help.
Right.
But generally, you know your neighbors. There's always somebody walking around. Honestly, folks would generally be surprised, I think, at how well many mobile home park residents take care of one another and really build a safe community that looks out for one another. And frankly, you have at least less of that if you do own the proverbial larger house on an acre or a couple acres of land, you know, farther out at the edge of town where it might be more affordable, but you just don't know your neighbors and you don't have the same sense of community as when you live in a mobile home park.
Yeah, very true. And the returns that you make on these mobile home parks are quite impressive, aren't they?
Yeah, we're typically making about 20% cash on cash. So a real typical deal for us would be, say, we put down, we just kind of go with round numbers. You know, we put down $250,000. We buy a $1 million park, obviously, 75% loan to value. And then on our $250,000 down, we'd probably make, after paying, of course, the operating expenses and the mortgage, we'd still probably have about $50,000 a year in cash flow. So roughly 20% cash on cash for our down payment.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. So as far as, you know, competitive investments out there to make 20% cash on cash return, what's out there to do that?
Not much. Certainly not in such a sort of standardized manner. I'm sure somewhere out there right now is the world's greatest, you know, gas station deal that'll yield 50 or 100% cash on cash. There are always quirky one-off deals out there, I'm sure, that do more than 20%. But we're not in the business of trying to do the random gas station deal over here and the random senior living deal over there and the random single family house fix and flip deal, you know, in Canada, whatever. We just like to have a formula that works again and again and again. And we feel mobile home parks on average offer the best returns of any real estate niche. And so we just keep doing 20%. 20% cash on cash deals. And we know that we miss the other random senior living and gas station deals and whatnot that might do a little better. But we're not we can't be experts in everything. So we've focused on this niche. This is all we do. And we just keep, you know, we've got a replicable business model. We just keep chunking out 20% cash on cash deals year after year. And that's good enough for us.
So, by the way, where are the parks located for the most part?
Yeah, so we've now expanded nationwide since we talked last April, since I was last on your show. So we've now bought in Washington State. We're in Spokane. The city's not exactly coastal, but Washington is. We've bought in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. We've bought in Lakeland, Florida. But still, most of what we've got is in the greater Midwest, Wyoming, Kansas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Wow. So the greater Midwest is where most of our portfolio is concentrated. We've roughly doubled, I think, since we were on the show last. We're now at 17 parks.
Really?
So that's where we're at. So we'll buy anywhere. Our worldview is that this business doesn't really scale. There's very little advantage, for instance, to having 10 parks all in Cincinnati. We're happy to own 10 parks scattered throughout the Midwest. If we buy them right, and if we're able to get that kind of cash flow, then we're going to do better with some slightly higher travel budget. But we're going to do better buying, you know, opportunistically wherever the high cash flow is, rather than, say, overpaying for deals just to dominate a certain city or state. Anyway, so again, we've got now 17 parks in the partnership, plus I've got a couple of my own. Spread across 11, I believe we're in 11 states. And we continue to buy opportunistically and are looking at some new deals in some of those states and also in a couple of states we don't yet own in.
Huh. Hey, is there any state in particular that you like, Jefferson?
Yeah, this business seems to work particularly well in the upper Midwest. So everything from, say, you know, Montana over through the Dakotas into Wisconsin, over into Michigan, down into Ohio, Iowa, across the northern parts of Illinois, Indiana, up there, you tend to get still very good valuations, substantially the same as, say, down in Texas or Oklahoma. But the tenants in the upper Midwest tend to take better care of their homes. And of course, in our business, almost all the homes are owned by the tenants, which is another reason this is such a good business. It looks like a parking lot business. The tenants own their own homes. They repair all the proverbial leaky roofs and leaky toilets, and we have very low maintenance. And again, we have tenants that are generally taking pride of ownership. But that said, you know, we do get some low single digit percent of the houses back. They might get abandoned every year. Mm-hmm. And again, in general, tenants in the northern upper Midwest take better care of the houses. So when we do get them back, they're in better condition than, say, a typical mobile home might be, say, in Oklahoma. That's one of the worst places for tenants, right, unfortunately, to disrespect mobile homes.
Huh. That's really interesting. So yep. Upper Midwest, of all places, I wonder why that's so.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you. You know, the demographics appear to be substantially the same, similar income levels, similar cultural backgrounds. I heard somebody in our business mention once that you have more sort of a Northern European influence there, more immigrants from Norway and Denmark and Sweden and whatnot. So I have no idea if there's really something cultural in that respect about it. It is a bit of a mystery. I've been in this business 10 years now, and I don't have an answer for that question. I just know that, again, in general, the tenants in the upper Midwest are really the best.
Huh, that's so fascinating. And yep. And you got to wonder, you know, so you just stick with it, basically, because who are you to argue, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So if we see two identical deals, one in Oklahoma City and one in, you know, Madison, Wisconsin, we're definitely buying in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
But if there's a significant difference in the cap rate, now we got to think about it. And maybe we're doing the Oklahoma deal if it's better priced. But anyway, but yeah, for you never have, of course, have identical deals. But just in general, we do like the upper Midwest.
Uh-huh. So are there states that you just stay away from, like Oklahoma? You just say it's not worth it and we're not going to get involved there?
A bit. And it's not Oklahoma. Oklahoma is an acceptable state to buy in. And it's actually where I got my start in the Oklahoma City metro. But in general, the southeastern states tend to be rough. You know, your Mississippis, your Alabamas of the world. You know, if you're in a major city there, you're probably going to do okay. But there's kind of a what we call a head and shoulders effect. You know, if you actually owned a park really inside most any major metro, you're going to do fine. But of course, almost all of those parks have been developed into some higher and better use. And so you're buying on the shoulders. You're buying 15 and even 30 miles from the downtown area. That's right. Where the remaining mobile home parks are. And, you know, in a place like Madison, Wisconsin, or even Oklahoma City, if you buy a park 30 miles and certainly just 15 miles from downtown, you're just fine. You know, the tenants will respect the home. They'll pay their rent. The economies are reasonably strong. If you're 15 and certainly 30 miles outside of any major metro in those southeastern states, tend to a much rougher tenant base. And the economy a lot weaker. Right. So there's just a lot less opportunity to buy good parks. We see bad parks all the time in the Southeast that are, again, 30 miles from, you know, Dothan, Alabama or whatever. And they're also bad, bad infrastructure.
Right.
They're on well and either a sewage lagoon or a septic system. And we tend to stay away from that. We really like city water, city sewer. Anyway, so long story short, the infrastructure is also less good in the Southeast. So it becomes almost impossible to find a park in the Southeast that is in a decent sized metro, not 30 miles outside, but truly in a decent sized metro with city water, city sewer. There are just very few of those deals in the Southeast. So we don't even really look in the Southeast. We concentrate our efforts basically everywhere else. And in particular, the upper Midwest. But again, we've obviously bought in North Carolina. We bought in Washington State. We'll buy pretty much anywhere we get a well-priced park. But we almost always want it to be on city water, city sewer. So, and again, the combination of weaker infrastructure and weaker economy make it really hard to find a good mobile home park deal in the Southeast.
Hey, and one other question here, Jefferson, is are these going to be trailer parks forever? Because I've seen some in Florida where the real estate became so valuable that basically they just got acquired. And do you ever look for that type of thing? Or is that just a bonus kind of on the upside?
Yeah, we never underwrite assuming that our exit is going to be to sell at some outrageous price to a developer. That said, of course, if we ever got a stupid offer for one of our parks, we'd be stupid not to sell. Yeah. Our Wichita, Kansas park is about a 9-iron from the Dwight D. Eisenhower International Airport there. And it's surrounded by some others. It's sort of in a light industrial area. So a park like that, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody like a FedEx or UPS or Amazon or somebody came along and said, hey, we actually want these 30 acres because again, they might develop it into something else. You know, we still got that deal. We think at a good price, a little better than a 9 cap. We're getting to about 20% cash on cash there. So we'll be happy to own any of our parks forever. and operate them as mobile home parks. But yeah, we do have a couple in the portfolio that might get bought out and developed into something else. But again, that's not really our business. We just want to build up the communities, rehab, say, any abandoned mobile homes, get those back into the housing pool, and then buy and bring in other mostly new homes out of the factory, again, to expand the supply of affordable housing. We want to get our parks full. And that's really the business that we're in. We're not really fix and flip guys.
Gotcha. So it's got to be in reasonably good condition. Although I'm sure if there is a decent value add on the upside, you'll take it as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've got to see some way to get to roughly 20% cash on cash. Generally, that's a combination of infilling the parks with new homes, and rehabbing existing homes that probably the previous owner just never had the time or interest to rehab. And then we'll control expenses. We often bill for water, for instance. That's the only way to really identify where you've got leaks and whose house is leaking like a sieve because the toilets just run, So we'll bill for water. We'll bump rents. We'll market the properties better. Probably half of everything we've bought, all but one of the deals came with no website. So basically the parks never come with a website. And then half of our deals aren't even listed in the yellow pages. So you think about it, if you're somebody making $30,000-$35,000 a year household income and you're moving to Wichita, Kansas or Tulsa, Oklahoma or Superior, Wisconsin, like none of these parks were findable. You would have had to have known somebody in the park. But once we take them over, we'll put up a website. We'll get in the yellow pages. We'll be advertising also on Craigslist. So all of a sudden now we open up, if you will, to people a whole new world of affordable housing that they probably never would have found, because literally half of our deals, you can't find them on Google Earth or Google Maps. You can't find them in the yellow pages. If you're new to town, you just never would have found these parks. So we market them better. We improve them. We physically remove sometimes several tons of junk in like 24 cubic yard dumpsters. And we just make them better for the tenants. And then we're always happy to see families referring other families to come live in our parks. Then we know we've done a good job. Once again, families are referring families. We want that sort of word of mouth.
Hey, what about competition? Is this a competitive business?
Yes and no. It can be competitive to find a deal. But once you've bought the property, there's very little competition. It's rare. It's not unheard of, but it's rare that, say, the park across the street would come and raid your tenants and say, hey, I'm going to move your mobile home across the street into my park. You could always raid back and try and take homes out of the other guy's park to try and stop that behavior. It's just easier to find a new or used home and move that into your park and find a tenant for it. So, once you own a park, there's fairly little competition. This is nothing like the apartment business. So even if the guy across the street offers like a $99 move-in special, none of my tenants are going to spend $4,000 to move their trailer across the street or vice versa. So the tenants tend to stay in place. Again, when they want to move, they will sell their mobile home in place to somebody new. So the tenant is really the home. It's not so much the person in the home. And again, because of moving costs, the homes themselves rarely move. So there's definitely less competition than, for instance, being in the apartment business, where, again, you could offer a $99 move-in special and actually have people move from one apartment complex across the street to the other. That's almost unknown in our business. So the competition is with other buyers, and to find the parks and get them bought. That's where the competition really occurs.
Wow. Really fascinating business model, fascinating structure. And it sounds very low risk as well.
Yeah, we think so. You know, I bought my first park in March of 2007. Obviously, great timing for going right into all the housing meltdown that really kicked in beginning that summer and then through 2008 and 2009. But honestly, we stayed full. Most park owners that I know stayed full. Some of the park owners that were in areas like ground zero for the easy money credit, like Las Vegas and Florida, they had higher turnover and they were hurt a bit because some of their tenants could lie about their income and obviously do get a no doc mortgage and move into a site built house. So that caused, in certain geographies, that caused a bit of problem for the mobile home park business. But honestly, it wasn't that bad. Folks just had to work harder and the tenants turned over, but they still remained mostly full. So yeah, I mean, there's always demand for affordable housing. That just really never seems to go away. And another thing that makes this a particularly compelling business is just that pretty much every city and county has outlawed any new construction of mobile home parks. So again, unlike apartments or self-storage or senior living or office, I mean, all the other niches of real estate, you know, who knows who your competition is going to be in a couple of years. They're always building new apartment buildings, more site-built houses, more senior living, more shopping malls. I mean, every other niche in real estate continues to have more competition every year. This is the only niche where competition is really shrinking. So again, it's basically illegal to build a new park. And then, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, some of these do get redeveloped into something else. They become a sexy condo development or the strip shopping center or what have you. So we estimate that about 1% of mobile home parks get plowed under every year and become some higher and better use. So the supply curve, Carrie, is actually shifting inward about 1% a year. The demand curve grows out about 1% a year, just proportionate with population gains. But it's not hard to see what happens to rental prices when the supply is shrinking and the demand is growing. And we don't see a change in that dynamic either. So we think mobile home parks are indeed a pretty good little business to be in.
And they're definitely countercyclical. We know that, right? No question about it.
There might be a bit of that. But honestly, like, some of our parks are 100% full and have, quote unquote, always been 100% full. So even if we go into a downturn, it's not that people are going to be able to move in. And again, when you're, you know, quote unquote, only paying $300 a month, that's pretty affordable. So even in downturns, folks tend not to get evicted out of parks. They're not going to lose a house for $300 a month in lot rent. So, yeah. Again, very, very stable business to be in.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Well, I know you're going to want to find out more about this. Of course, you can send an email to me, kl@carrylutz.com. Where else do we connect with you on the internet here, Jefferson?
Sure. Our website is parkstreetpartners.com. And then we also run our own podcast and have the largest group on LinkedIn for mobile home parks. And you can find both simply at mobilehomeparkinvestors.com. Mm-hmm. That website, again, will link you both to our roughly 3,500 person LinkedIn group and get you connected with our podcast, which we release roughly weekly. Again, also just called Mobile Home Park Investors.
All right. That's totally cool. As always, we'll have a link to Jefferson's site in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. If you haven't already, please sign up for the free newsletter. And while we're at it, take a look at the Facebook group. That would be Financial Survival Network. And of course, our great Twitter feed, which is at Carrie Lutz. And Jefferson, thanks so much for coming back on. I'm really thrilled to hear of your success and wish you much continued success. So don't be a stranger. And we'll talk to you again soon.
I look forward to it, Carrie. Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.